Why don't we look to the Lord once again and ask Him to be able to speak to our hearts on this subject we want to address this evening. We are thankful, Father, that You give us Your Word. And we're thankful for the Holy Spirit who can take Your Word and can teach us and give us understanding. Lord, You know my heart, it's my desire to speak the truth. And I pray that Your Holy Spirit would enable and lead and guide what I say, what I don't say. May You get all the glory here this evening. And we'll thank You in Your name. Amen. Well, Andrew, topic title, huh? Well, you like just a title on that disc, don't you? Let's call it, Is There Such a Thing? Is there such a thing? You know, we have been addressing for a number of Sunday evenings, what is the truth? We have looked at a number of different topics, and we had some cards, we still have some back there, giving the folks an opportunity to, maybe there's something you'd like to know. Well, Pastor, what do you think the truth is about this particular topic? I still have some that are yet to come. We have not addressed every one. Excuse me. But this one came in and it says, What is the unpardonable sin? What is the unpardonable sin? I would like to answer that. First of all, unpardonable sin is not found in the King James Version. You're not going to find the word unpardonable in the Strong's Concordance, which has every reference in there. That is a name that man has given it. If I'm wrong, if you can find it in your Bible, you let me know and I'll eat crow and tell you I was wrong. I have done that before, but it is not found. We don't find those words in the Scripture. Now, we do find things like blasphemy against the Spirit, and we find not forgiven, but we don't find the actual unpardonable sin in the Scripture. Well, where do we get this idea anyway? There are some references that I would like us address this evening. And let me say that this particular topic, though it's not in the Bible, if you search long enough, you can find some Bible teachers, pastors, book authors have addressed the topic, even though we don't find the actual word. But I've come to the conclusion, a lot of these guys aren't so certain what it is either. And it's not one of those that is so easy to just pop an answer off the top of your head and say, well, that's what it is. And so what I have done this evening, what I have chosen to do, and I hope this will be a blessing to you, and hopefully it will not be a disappointment to the one that filled out the card, and asked the question. I'm going to read the verses from which we get this idea that there is a serious sin out there that someone can commit. And then I am going to give some references, some quotes from some authors like John MacArthur in his MacArthur Study Bible. I'm going to give some references from the Liberty Study Bible. I'm going to give some references from Merrill Unger in his Unger's Bible Dictionary, and I'm going to give some references from the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia, and I'm going to conclude with some statements from Warren Wiersbe. That's how I'm going to answer this question this evening. I want to read the verses and then just share with you what some of these men who are a lot smarter than I have responded with regards to what we call the unpardonable sin. Well, where do we get such an idea? Matthew chapter 12 is the first reference. Matthew chapter 12. Pardon me if I'll try not to bark in this phone. I'll try to, or this microphone, I'll try to remember to turn it off before I have to cough, so Andrew's not just constantly recording a cough in the background here. I have been fighting something in my throat for a couple of days, and I think it's winning, especially this evening. Matthew chapter 12. And the first reference that we see is, let me give you first of all the context of it. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, we're going to give references in each one. And in the three of the synoptic gospels, this same context is there. These verses follow some words of the Pharisees. Now, were the Pharisees on the Lord's side or not? Did they appreciate what he had to say? Were they on his... Yeah, they were always against him, weren't they? Now, the context that we'll just read it here in Matthew, but keep it in mind, it's there in Mark and it's going to be there in Luke. Here's what happened that day that precipitated the Lord saying the words that we're going to look at in these verses. When the Pharisees heard it, notice we go back to verse 22, they brought unto him one possessed with a devil or a demon, blind and dumb, and he healed him insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed, and they said, "Is this not the son of David?" But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth not cast out demons or devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the demons." In other words, by Satan himself. That's where he's getting this power. And Jesus then responded, if, verse 27, if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Verse 28, if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is among you. Then we drop down to verse 31, and it's 31 and 32, that in after that conversation, the accusation, the denial that it was the power of God that had done this, but the attributing Christ's power to Satan himself, Jesus said in verse 31, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. But the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man," who is the Son of Man? Jesus. it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come. Now, that sounds like it's a pretty serious thing, isn't it? This sin that Jesus is talking about. As we think about what is this blasphemy of the Holy Spirit or against the Spirit in verse 31, let me just share from the MacArthur Study Bible. The sin he was confronting was the Pharisees' deliberate rejection of what they knew to be from God. It was their deliberate rejection of it. Rather than admitting, wow, this is a miracle from God. Well, this guy, he's doing this from Satan. That's where he's getting his power. They could not deny the reality of what the Holy Spirit had done through him. So they attributed to Satan a work that they knew was of God. What about this 32nd verse that, you know, you can even sin against the Lord himself and he'll forgive, but, you know, to sin against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven. What is he referring to? Mr. MacArthur says, those who know his claims are true and reject him anyway, sin against the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit who testifies of Christ and makes his truth known to us. What do you mean? Who is it that testifies the truth concerning Jesus Christ since our Lord went home to glory? Who is it? It is the Holy Spirit. That is his ministry. In John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus taught that before, while he was still on earth and before he ever left. John 15, verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom, I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall what? Testify of whom? It is the Holy Spirit's ministry to convict people, testify, show them the truth concerning Jesus Christ. Jesus said here, that's what he's going to do. He's going to testify of me. The Holy Spirit does not come and promote himself, does he? Certainly not. But the Holy Spirit's ministry is to turn our eyes toward the Lord and recognize him and see who he is and what he has done. In John chapter 16, verses 14 and 15, and he shall glorify me. That's the Holy Spirit he's talking about. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I unto you, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And so what Mr. MacArthur is saying, those who know his claims are true and reject him anyway, they are sinning against the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit testifies that this was of the Lord. This is the truth about the Lord. And when they don't accept that, and they continue to reject, we've got a problem. Now, in the Liberty Study Bible, they had this to say concerning this 31, verse 31 and verse 32. The blasphemy against the Holy Spirit is deliberate rejection of Christ, His Spirit wrought miracles, and His salvation. Deliberately rejecting the truth concerning Christ. It is the ultimate sin that by its very nature puts a man beyond the opportunity of salvation. If a person continues to deliberately reject Christ and His salvation, is there any forgiveness for that person? If they continue to deliberately reject? No. The Holy Spirit brings the offer of salvation to the heart of man, because that's the Spirit's ministry. To reject Him is to act presumptuously and thus to blaspheme God. Now let's move to Mark chapter 3. Again, the context is the same. The author just said it just a little bit differently. Those Pharisees have already made their comments concerning where Jesus got His power. But as we look at Mark chapter 3, we begin at verse 28. Verily, or truly, I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Regarding this passage, the Liberty Study Bible says this: the sin that Jesus warns against consists of a deliberately, and psychologically irrevocable spurning of God's redeeming and cleansing power, going so far as to see in Jesus the incarnation of a demon. That's where He got His power. Profaning even God's name is deadly business in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, isn't it? We're not to take the Lord's name in vain. But unforgivable, says Jesus, is the callousness of a heart that leads to such debased spiritual sensitivity. In other words, just constantly rejecting any truth, any attempt to reach, to bring conviction, to convince. And they are just turned against sensitivity of God's word and deed through Jesus Christ. They can bring themselves to the point where that truth can be just trodden ruthlessly underfoot. And when they are at that state, and that's the way they die, is that sin going to be forgiven? We talked about, will there be a second chance for someone a week or a few weeks back. No! Now is the accepted time of salvation. It's in this life that a person has the opportunity to accept Christ. But if a person habitually rejects, God isn't at the end just going to say, well, it's okay. You just come on in. You just come on in. I know you really didn't mean to reject my son and what he did for you. Excuse me. As we move on, Luke chapter 12, verse 10 is the third place that we find reference to this sin. Luke chapter 12 and verse 10. And it says, whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him, but unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven. This, and here in, once again, John MacArthur in his study Bible says, this is not a sin of ignorance, that somebody doesn't know better, but this is a deliberate, willful hostility toward Christ, as was exemplified by the Pharisees in the context of this. This man isn't of God. He's getting his power from some other place. It was not ignorance. It was willful rejection. Merrill Unger, excuse me, in his Unger's Bible Dictionary, had a section on, and he called it the unpardonable sin, even though we don't find that word in our Bibles. And he says that the passages referred to undoubtedly point to one particular sin, and that is unpardonable, unforgivable. What this sin is, and I would say amen to that, has been a matter of much discussion. Much discussion. Now, the view that was held by Wesley and others is this, that the sin was ascribing those miracles to the power of the devil, which Christ wrought by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he says this view is by some held to be inadequate. Lang, L-A-N-G-E, not L-A-M-E. Lang expresses the convictions of some when he says, we have here to understand fully conscious and stubborn hatred against God and that which is divine as it exists in its highest development. And proponents of that view hold that it's unpardonable, not because the grace of God is not sufficient for its forgiveness, but it springs from a state in the soul in which there is left no room for repentance or faith in Christ. And he says this, thus they who are in anxiety. I wonder if I've ever committed the unpardonable sin. Oh, I hope I haven't. He says those who are in anxiety, lest they have committed this sin, show in that very fact that such anxiety is groundless. If they're still concerned about their future, they haven't so hardened their heart against him that there is no forgiveness for them. All they have to do is turn to the Lord. That's it. We're talking about these who are, could we coin a word? I coined a word, and Stan said, I wrote that phrase down this morning when I talked about those sunny days. So I wrote that down. Well, how about career unbelievers? They've made a career out of it. They have no interest in the things of the Lord. You can talk to them till they are blue in the face, and they keep denying, they keep denying, they keep denying, and they don't want to hear what you have to say. Don't talk to me about that. I'm not interested in that. And they're just career unbelievers. No interest. We're not talking about those that, well, I'm concerned about my future. Career unbelievers, are they concerned about their future? Nah. They make jokes out of what they're going to do when they get to hell and everything else, don't they? Right? You've talked with people like that. These are the ones for whom there is no forgiveness. But he goes on by saying, they who persist in sinning against religious life have great reason to fear lest they become thus guilty. For those who are concerned about their future and what's going to happen to me, beloved, the good news is there's still hope. Keep giving them the gospel. Keep giving them the truth of what the Lord can do for their lives. But what he's talking about here are those that know the truth about Christ, but they have rejected it, and they have said, I don't want any part of that. I don't believe it. I'm not interested in that. These are the ones that when they stand before the Lord, they're not going to hear, come on in, boy, I know you were going to when you just got around to it. No, the career unbelievers, their future is settled. Excuse me. In the International Bible Encyclopedia, a gentleman by the name of Plummer suggested this. What is this sin? And he says, and I quote, constant and consummate opposition to the influence of the Holy Spirit because of a deliberate preference of darkness to light. And it renders repentance and therefore forgiveness morally impossible. Because they have deliberately chosen darkness over light, and they are constantly opposed to the truth of the light. I close with some quotes from Warren Wiersbe. And here's what he has to say. Excuse me. What is this terrible sin against the Holy Spirit? When the leaders rejected John the Baptist, they were rejecting the Father who sent him. When they rejected Jesus, they were rejecting the Son. But when they rejected the ministry of the apostles, they rejected the Holy Spirit. And that was the end. There is no more witness to the truth than can be given by the Holy Spirit himself concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And when a person rejects that, there is no forgiveness. Is there an unpardonable sin today, though we don't find the word in Scripture? His answer, yes. It is the final rejection of Jesus Christ. Jesus made it clear here in Matthew 12:31, our first verse, that all sins can be forgiven. Adultery, murder, blasphemy, other sins can all be forgiven, and they're not unpardonable. But get this, God cannot forgive the rejection of His Son. It is the Spirit who bears witness, and it is the Spirit who convicts the lost sinner. And when a person rejects the witness of the Spirit, there is no forgiveness for them. That is the one sin God cannot forgive: unbelief concerning the truth of His Son. I hope that's helped. I hope that has maybe clarified some things for you. My question to the message title was, is there such a thing? Yeah. God won't and can't forgive unforgiveness or unbelief. That's what is so serious. And we need to take to heart the truth that has been revealed concerning Jesus Christ and make sure that we have accepted the truth concerning Him and accepted Him as our own Savior and Lord. Let's close in prayer, shall we? Thank you, Father, that we could turn to Your Word. Thank you that we have had some guidance and direction concerning the question that was asked. I pray that these answers, suggestions from men, authors, has been a help. I pray, Lord, that You got the glory. And now as we prepare our hearts to gather around the Lord's table, I pray that You might be glorified in that as we do this in remembrance of Your Son. In Your name I pray, amen.